Bianca Piper isn't your typical teenage girl. Cynical and sharp-tongued, she prefers sitting at the bar drinking cherry Coke while her gorgeous friends dance at the local teen club. Her world shatters when Wesley Rush, the school's notorious womanizer, approaches her with a devastating revelation. She's the Duff, the designated ugly fat friend of her group. His theory? By chatting with the least attractive friend, he improves his chances with the hot ones. That single moment changes everything. Suddenly, Bianca sees herself through Wesley's cruel lens, examining her wavy auburn hair, long nose, thick thighs, and small breasts with new, critical eyes. Though she throws her drink in his face, the damage is done. The word Duff burrows deep into her consciousness, becoming the lens through which she views herself and her relationships. Isn't it astonishing how one casual comment can completely reshape our self-perception? What makes this moment so powerful is how Bianca keeps Wesley's cruel label to herself, creating that all-too-familiar disconnect between her internal experience and the face she presents to the world. It's that feeling many of us know too well, that no one sees the real you or understands your private pain. Life spirals out of control for Bianca. Her crush, Toby Tucker, has a girlfriend, her father relapses into alcoholism after receiving divorce papers, and the Duff label continues to haunt her. In desperation, she kisses Wesley Rush, the very person who gave her that hated nickname. This dynamic is psychologically complex. Bianca isn't just attracted to Wesley. She craves the mental numbness their encounters provide. All thought vanishes as I become purely physical, she observes. This dissociation becomes addictive, a way to shut down her mind and forget her troubles. When Wesley asks why Hester Prynne from The Scarlet Letter had her affair, Bianca's response is revealing. To escape. She was just looking for something to distract her from all the shit in her life. This parallel helps Bianca rationalize her choices while foreshadowing their consequences. Haven't we all sought escape from painful reality? What begins as physical distraction gradually transforms as Wesley and Bianca reveal vulnerabilities to each other. Their arrangement evolves from escape to connection, though Bianca resists acknowledging this shift at every turn. Behind Bianca's high school drama lies a deeper story of family dysfunction. Her mother has been absent for months on speaking tours, and her father, a recovering alcoholic, relapses after receiving divorce papers. Bianca comes home to find broken glass scattered across the living room floor, the coffee table overturned, and empty beer bottles strewn everywhere. A perfect symbol of her shattered family. What's heartbreaking is Bianca's immediate response. She begins cleaning up, assuming responsibility for her parents' mess. This role reversal feels painfully authentic. Her thoughts reveal raw anger. How could she do this? How could she just send divorce papers out of nowhere? Didn't she know how it would affect Dad? And she hadn't even thought about me. When her father strikes her during a drunken rage, it shows the unpredictability children of alcoholics face and Bianca's impossible position, trying to protect both her father and herself with no support. The portrayal effectively avoids demonizing the parents while not excusing their behavior. Bianca's father isn't a monster, but a broken man. Her mother isn't villainous, but someone who finally chose herself after years of unhappiness. This complexity reflects the messy reality of family breakdown. The book insightfully explores the complex dynamics of female friendship through Bianca's relationships with Casey, her protector since kindergarten, and sweet, innocent Jessica. Despite genuine affection, Bianca constantly compares herself to her friends. Casey grew into a tall, thin, gorgeous girl, and I ended up, well, the opposite. Seeing us separately, no one would think we were friends. What makes this portrayal refreshing is its authenticity. Bianca loves her friends deeply while feeling inferior to them, values their loyalty while sometimes resenting their beauty. This ambivalence captures the teenage experience where friendship and social comparison intertwine. The novel pivots when Bianca realizes everyone feels like the duff sometimes. Observing other girls' insecurities, she recognizes that even her beautiful friends have moments of inadequacy. I was the duff, and that was a good thing, because someone who doesn't feel like a duff doesn't have friends. Through this evolution, we see how true friendship isn't about comparison, but about recognizing shared vulnerabilities. The insight that we're all duffs in our own minds becomes one of the novel's most empowering messages. Wesley Rush starts as the archetypal villain, arrogant, manipulative, and cruel. The school's notorious womanizer sees girls merely as conquests. Yet through unexpected developments, Wesley reveals surprising complexity beneath the surface. When Bianca begins her physical relationship with Wesley, she maintains emotional distance. I still hated him with all my being. His arrogance made me want to scream, but his ability to free me from my problems was addictive. Wesley was my drug. This contradiction creates the tension driving much of the novel. Wesley becomes more than just a reformed bad boy, as his development parallels Bianca's. Both use unhealthy coping mechanisms for family problems. Bianca deals with her father's alcoholism, while Wesley essentially raises his younger sister alone with perpetually absent parents. Their relationship deepens when Wesley witnesses Bianca's father's drunken outburst. Afterward, he offers genuine understanding. You're not a whore. You're a smart, sassy, sarcastic, cynical, neurotic, loyal, compassionate girl. This moment marks a turning point. Wesley sees beyond Bianca's defenses while she recognizes his player persona might also be protective armor. Wesley doesn't transform completely. He remains cocky and occasionally infuriating. What changes is his willingness to be vulnerable and his recognition of Bianca as someone worth pursuing for more than physical gratification. Bianca's journey from being wounded by the duff label to reclaiming it as a source of pride forms the novel's core message about self-definition in the face of judgment. Her epiphany arrives when she recognizes the universality of insecurity. All girls feel ugly sometimes. Why had I stressed over that stupid word for so long when it was so simple? I should be proud to be the duff. This shifts the label from something isolating to something connecting. Casey reinforces this by casually using duff in conversation, transforming it from an insult into an inside joke. The novel culminates when Bianca tells Wesley, "The truth is that I am the duff, but so is everyone else. We're all damn duffs." This represents not just acceptance, but empowerment, understanding that labels only have the power we give them. Through Bianca's journey, we learn that happiness comes from finding people who value you for who you are. Our perceived flaws often connect us more deeply to others than our perfections. The most liberating truth is that embracing our authentic selves is the truest form of empowerment in a world constantly trying to label us.